hold Jackie.
Thank you. Good morning. Please take your seats. Well, it's great to be with you again this morning. I always feel it's a privilege and a pleasure to come here. And as Ben said, it must be, coming on 17 years or something since I've been coming. I was just 23 when I first came here. And I do look forward to this. It's one of those highlights that I look forward to coming back, seeing everybody, seeing what God's doing, hearing what's happening. And so it's great to be back here. Had some time with the leaders on Friday night. Had a good time there, and then just meeting with various ones yesterday. And looking forward to today. Now, I've got two different sermons planned for this morning. Normally, I sort of do the same one with a few different anecdotes and so on, but I really feel the second service, I've got a word that's going to be prophetic to many people. So if you're able to hang around for that, that'll be great, or get it online or whatever. So we're going to be sharing something different this morning. I just love that song we were just singing, Holy Spirit, You're Welcome Here. How many of you know that is a dangerous song? It's really dangerous. I've traveled a lot over the past few months again. And I was in South Africa a few weeks ago, then I was in Malaysia, and then I was here in New Zealand, then I went back to Singapore and now come back here. And in three of those conferences that I spoke at, we sang this song, Holy Spirit, You're Welcome Here. And I didn't feel to do it right now, but in those three conferences, I felt to just jump up and grab the mic. And for the next 3-4 hours, we just saw the Holy Spirit doing His thing. And it's just been powerful, and many testimonies of healing and salvation and breakthrough and liberty and freedom and all those sorts of things. But I didn't feel like, you know, maybe that happened in the second meeting. Who knows? Anybody know? I have no idea, but I'm ready. I'm ready. But I just felt within the time situation this morning, we want to make sure that we're finished in time and what have you. But I always find when you invite the Holy Spirit to do what He wants to do, it's dangerous, but it's exciting. And it's just great to see Father do what He wants to. That song kind of epitomizes where I've come to over the past couple of years. It's always been in my heart, but increasingly, I'm just more concerned about walking in His presence. That's really all that matters to me these days. I get to minister hundreds of times every year, going to lots of places. I've traveled, I think I've flown 20, 30 times this year already and so on. It's not about that. It's about the presence. See, and we're always in His presence, but how many of you know we often don't connect with that? We get so distracted. We get so busy. We get so pulled aside by the challenges, the issues, the stuff that goes on around our lives that we forget that we are still in His presence. Even when you're having a bad day, how many of you know you're still in His presence? Even when things don't go the way you want, you're still in His presence. Hallelujah. And you can never get out of His presence. And when we allow the Holy Spirit to do His stuff, seriously, I was in South Africa, and we were just into the second song of the day, and the Holy Spirit just broke in. Well, that was the rest of the time gone. You know, the whole morning was just gone, and the Holy Spirit just began to do what He does best. And I think we need more than anything those encounters and those engagements with the Holy Spirit. That's what changes you, and that's what changes your life. It changes your perspective, changes the way you think, if you do, I'm not sure. But if you do, it changes the way you think, it changes the way you feel, it changes the way you do life. Because when you realize you're not doing this life on your own, you're doing it with the Holy Spirit and the presence of God, it changes how you approach everything that happens in your life. See, last year for Heather and I, probably one of the toughest years of our life. I'm not going to go through all the stuff, but it seemed every week, literally, something went pear-shaped, either with us or with our family, our extended family, or with some of our pastors. I have the privilege of leading an international network of pastors and churches around the world. I think we're in 13 countries now. And every week, we would be getting a text or a message or a phone call. One of our pastors had been shot. One of our pastors' children was kidnapped. Two of our pastors were shot the next month. And then all sorts of other stuff that was happening in our own family. And one of my grandchildren got seriously ill. And then my daughter was seriously ill. And then I had stuff happen. And so it went on. But you know what? In all of that, Your presence, Lord. Your presence, Lord. Whatever's going on, Your presence. In fact, one of those pastors that was shot died another pastor who was with him live, but the bullet is still lodged in his spine. They don't want to take it out because if they do, they think it might paralyze him. So he's living now with a bullet in his spine. But you know what? He's just praising God and leading this church and keeps leading people to Jesus. Hallelujah. Because it's all about him after all. And so just enjoying his presence. So I was kind of just standing there and I was just smiling to myself and saying, Father, if you want to mess this stuff up, I'm up for it. I love it when he messes stuff up. I really do, you know, because ultimately we're here to encounter him. We're not here to see what we can get. We're here to just meet with him. And out of meeting with him, he'll do whatever we need done in our lives. And that's what I'm always up for. And I'm finding increasingly that I was up in Malaysia and again, the Holy Spirit just broke in and hundreds, just a lot of people there. And the Holy Spirit just broke in, and there were very well-known film stars in the conference and all sorts of different politicians and what have you. And the Holy Spirit just broke in, and suddenly it's all on, and people are just getting their lives changed. You know, one encounter with God will change your life. You can listen to me for day after day after day, and you might enjoy it or you might not. That's down to you. But one encounter with God radically changes your life. So I want to encourage you in that, and be ready this morning for whatever the Holy Spirit wants to do in your life. Don't make it just another meeting. And if you see, I don't have a Bible up here. I carry all my notes and my Bible on my tablet, my Surface tablet, and my Surface tablet told me yesterday the battery's dead. It doesn't recognize it. So thankfully, I carry hard copy. So I do have some notes, but we'll see what happens. Just to mention as well, we have a couple of resources out on the table. Some of the resources aren't out there yet, but they will be. They're USBs, and on the USB, one of them has 13 messages, one video, and some booklets and what have you, and other options out there on different topics, different titles. And then we got these two booklets, The Power of Words. How many of you know death and life are in the power of your tongue? So I want to challenge you, what are you saying today? Are you speaking life or are you speaking death? Are you speaking fruit or poison into your life? It's not other people's fault. Often it's what you're saying. You see, if you say, I'm probably going to get worse, you're probably right for you. But if you agree with God's word and say, by the stripes of Jesus, I'm healed, then you're right as well, because that's what the word of God says. So this booklet here has lots of scriptures in it and references and so on for you to read out every day. And we just released this a few weeks ago. It's called Living in Victory. How many of you like the sound of that? Living in Victory. How many of you prefer to live in defeat? No, we want to live in victory. And so this is a lot of scriptures about walking in victory. Not psyching yourself up, but simply agreeing with the word of God. You see, your circumstances will change, but the word of God is eternal. So whatever I'm going through, last year it was literally week after week after week. I had one particular month where it was just like everything that could go wrong went wrong and more. And I had to go to 3 countries in less than 3 weeks, traveled about 8-9 flights, flew about 40,000 kilometers in about 3 weeks just because of stuff that happened. But I can still live in victory. See, Father God is not changed by my circumstances. My circumstances are changed by Father God. And so if you'd like to, now these are normally $5 each. Special this weekend is you can get both for just $10. So, no, it's because I love you so much. That's why I'm doing that. So I want to share this morning around a topic entitled joy. I want to talk about the joy of the Lord. This the second session, we're going to be talking about something quite different. But joy is fundamental. You know, there are many challenges. Good morning, sir. Hallelujah. Praise God. There's lots of challenges that are facing people these days. Lots of issues. How many of you are having problems or facing challenges? So just... You rushed in for this, didn't you? So he's going to talk about problems on there. Hallelujah. There are so many challenges and so many issues that are facing us. And I'm finding as I travel increasingly, so many people are getting stressed and anxious and worried. And I'm finding even in the church, many Christians are being overwhelmed by stress, anxiety, worry about what's going on, not just globally, but what's happening in their own lives, what's happening in their own situations and circumstances. But the Bible tells me that we are meant to be full of joy. Now, a lot of Christians are just full of it, but God wants you to be full of joy. Hallelujah. And I want to talk a little bit about joy. That doesn't mean we're uncaring. Sometimes people think, well, if we talk about joy and we're just going to be joyful, that kind of expresses to the world that we're not interested. But to the contrary, see, having the joy of the Lord in your life doesn't mean you're uncaring. It doesn't mean you're not moved by what's going on in the world. It doesn't mean that you don't have compassion. It doesn't mean that you don't feel for what's happening. You know, times I pray with lots and lots of people on prayer lines, and I'm often just impacted emotionally by what I sense and what I feel and what I see when I'm praying for people. You hear some of the stories of what people are going through. You can't help but be moved. So joy doesn't remove that from you, but joy does something that we're going to investigate over these next few minutes. The joy of the Lord will actually empower you to minister compassion to a hurting world. The world is getting more and more confused. The world is losing track of reality. The norm is no longer the norm, and people are still confused and hurting and wounded. And the church is here to offer some kind of hope in that situation. And when we have that joy of the Lord, it will empower us to minister to the troubled world, to actually be salt and light. You see, so often we're so busy just dealing with our challenges that we are not the salt and the light that God wants us to be. And you're meant to be the light of the world. Have a look at the person next to you and say, oh, how's that ever going to happen? But it's not because I'm trying to be the light. You see, when you have the joy of the Lord, you will be the light to the world. When you walk into a situation where there's confusion, where there's sorrow, where there's anxiety, if you are full of the joy of the Lord, you will just be the light, not because you switch on, but because you're allowing Him to be who He wants to be in and through your life. You see, reaching others is not meant to be a chore. It's not meant to be a job. Evangelism is not a job. It should be a byproduct of our walk in Him, our living in Him, our walking in Him. We just were singing about His presence. How many of you know you carry His presence when you go to the store? You carry His presence when you go to the restaurant. You carry that presence. And if the joy of the Lord is flying in your life, then that light will flow out of you just by your demeanor, by your attitude, by your grace, by the way you do life. And so I want to encourage us in that. Obviously, Nehemiah, if you have your Bible, I know some are still using them. Nehemiah chapter 8, verses 9 and 10. It tells us that the joy of the Lord is what? My strength. The joy of the Lord is what? Come on, you're sounding very weak. The joy of the Lord is my strength. Hallelujah. The joy of the Lord is your strength. Not psyching yourself up, not trying to work yourself up into a frenzy, not trying to feel good in some particular meeting or whatever, but the joy of the Lord is your strength. Whatever you're walking through, whatever's happening in your life, whether you're on the mountaintop right now, whether you're in the valley, the joy of the Lord is your strength. My year started off last year, I can't remember if I shared here or not, but I started off, I was speaking at a conference in the Philippines, at a leadership conference. I'd been in Singapore for a couple of days before that, ministering. And at the conference, the first session I did on the Saturday morning, I was starting to feel a little bit off, as happens when you travel and so on. And I just thought they had the air conditioning too low. I was feeling really cold and shaky. And so after the first session, I went to the senior guy and I just said, could we turn the aircon up a little bit or down, whichever way you go on that. But I need it warmer. I'm shaking up there. And so they altered that and I got up the second session and I began to preach. And I just felt this nausea just coming onto my body. And the microphone started to do this. And some of the people were getting really excited. They thought the Holy Spirit's moving. Because he's like this. And I'm literally starting to shake, and they're all going, hallelujah, God is in the house. Well, it wasn't actually God in the house right at that moment in me, but something else was in me. And literally, I just suddenly, everything just went black. And I just looked down at the senior minister. I said, you need to get me off the platform now. This is in the middle of the preaching. I said, you need to get me off the platform now. And literally, I couldn't move. I was like this. I just couldn't move. Two guys rushed up. They literally carried me off the platform, took me to a room. I was seriously ill for 2 or 3 hours. Then they rushed me to the ER, and I found out that I'd contracted dengue fever. had been bitten by one of those pesky little mozzies, and it had incubated for 3 days. And they rushed me to the hospital. They put me on all these tubes and what have you. And then they checked my blood platelets, and my blood platelets had gone to such a dangerous level that I was actually about to become what they call hemorrhagic, which means you bleed from every orifice. And once that happens, it's pretty much over. Usually most people will die after that. But they obviously, I'd been caught in time. So that was my start to the year. Hallelujah. Serving God, speaking at a conference. Glory to God. God is good all the time. And so I'm lying here on this stretcher in a hospital, not understanding the language. I don't know what they're saying. Maybe say, oh, cut one of his legs off, see what happens. I don't know what they're coming up, you know. I've no idea what they're... And every now and again, the curtain would be pulled back, and one of those lovely little Filipino nurses would look through and say, oh, Pastor John, we're so sorry. And the curtain would shut. And then I sort of feel like I'm in this daze and all this stuff and all this medicine going in me and what have you. And then the curtain would open and another little, oh, Pastor John, we're so sorry. I thought, I'm hallucinating. But they were just so good. They'd found out I was a pastor and many of them were Christians and so on. Anyway, they told me you can't fly for a week. You're going to have to stay in the bed. We've got to do all sorts of stuff to you to get your blood platelets back to where you're meant to be and so on and so on. I said, no, I have to fly home tomorrow. They said, no, you can't fly for a week. So anyway, I flew home the next day. Hallelujah. Praise God. I got through the airport. Actually, when I was going in the airport, they were sort of scanning. Some airports, they have these scanners to check your body temperature and make sure you're fit to fly. So I walked up and they said, morning, sir. And I kind of, morning. I managed to get through. I went through the scanner. They're looking and I'm going, hey. They say, you all right, sir? I said, yeah, great. Got into the lounge, collapsed over 2 chairs. A guy actually came in to look to see. Obviously, the scanner had shown something. He came to look. He said, you all right, sir? I said, yeah, absolutely brilliant. When he went away, I said, but I managed to get on the flight, flew home, went to my doctor, and they were very concerned. Anyway, that was the start of the year. See, but God is always good. We just sang it. You are good, you are good, you are good. Oh, I'm not sure what the O-H means, but you are good, good, good. Oh, you are good, good. I don't know. I love it. I think the O has a spiritual hidden meaning somewhere. So I'm still working on that one, but he's good all the time. But you see, even in that situation, I was lying on that stretcher. It was amazing. There was just this joy in my heart knowing that I'm still in his presence. He's still with me. The Holy Spirit is still with me. Nothing changed as far as Father's concerned. And I knew that I needed to hold on to my joy. I mean, everything from then on, the next week, something else happened. Then I got a call from England. I had to fly to England quickly. And then I came back and 2 days later, I flew to East Africa and all sorts of stuff and so on. But the joy of the Lord is your strength. See, if you allow a circumstance situation to weigh you down, you lose that joy. When you lose your joy, you lose your strength. And many Christians are weak, I believe, today because they've lost the joy of the Lord. The joy of the Lord is your strength. Another version says, the joy the Lord gives you will make you strong. Hallelujah. How many like the sound of that? Strong. I want to be strong in the Lord. Not because I'm trying to psych it up, motivate it, make it work, but because it's his joy that's keeping me strong. This joy of the Lord is a deep sense of pleasure and satisfaction, regardless of circumstance. See, the joy of the Lord is not dependent upon your circumstance. It's dependent on him, who he is, and the fact that he never changes. The joy of the Lord is not just about happiness, although that results. How many of you know happiness is subject to circumstance? Have you ever been like me? You've had a brilliant day, you get home, the phone goes, and suddenly you're not happy anymore because of what you just heard on the phone. You know what I'm talking about? It's subject to circumstance. So happiness is just a byproduct. The pursuit is not happiness. The pursuit is the joy of the Lord. Because the joy of the Lord is not about my circumstance. It's about who he is. And my circumstances will change. How many of you know that? Your circumstances will change. And so your attitude, your mood can change. But the joy of the Lord remains constant. Hallelujah. In the Bible, happy is mentioned about 30 times, but joy or rejoice is mentioned over 300 times. So the focus is not about being happy. Many Christians are trying to be happy. But Father, actually, that's not his goal. You know, God's goal is not to make you happy. I didn't think I'd get any hallelujahs. Oh, that's a bummer. See, Father's not trying to make you happy. He's actually trying to make you like his son Jesus. That's his goal. He wants to make you like Jesus. And if you allow him, guess what? You'll be happy. Hallelujah. It's a byproduct. It's not the ultimate. It just comes as a result of your relationship with him. And the Bible says that the Father wants us to rejoice and have joy. See, joy actually will help to ignite your faith. Joy is a big component to faith. Somebody said this, faith is like dynamite. How many of you would agree? You know, something happening in your situation, your life, you apply dynamite, faith, and it can turn the thing around. It's like there's faith, but something's got to ignite it. And joy can often be the fuse that lights your faith. It's hard to move in faith if you don't have joy. Really? Imagine someone coming to pray with you. Hello. I just want to pray with you. I think Jesus might heal you. Might as well try it, eh? How many of you would sort of say, no, please, pray for the next person, you know? I'll wait. I'll wait for Pastor Illy, you know? So if you don't have joy, you're not going to move in faith. Because a lack of joy will remove that sense of faith in your life. God wants you to actually enjoy your relationship with him. Hallelujah. Isn't that exciting? He actually wants you to enjoy your relationship. Being a Christian is not meant to be a chore. It's meant to be a joy. That we have relationship with the living God, the God who created the universe, that I now walk in relationship with him in his presence. Hallelujah. That's meant to be a place of joy. Not complaint or confusion or doubt or fear or worry. Psalm 100 verse 2 says, serve the Lord with sadness. Oh, sorry, no. Some of you said amen. I claim it in the name of Jesus. Serve the Lord with gladness. It's not, oh, well, hallelujah, I'm a Christian. But serving the Lord with gladness. Actually, in the Hebrew, it's serve the Lord with joy. Serve the Lord with joy. Joy because God loves you. Joy because God is with you. Joy because God is for you. That's good news. There's enough to celebrate, isn't it? God is for you. That's good news. That should bring joy to your heart. God's for me. Whatever's happening in your life today, let me assure you, God is for you. God is not against you. It's the devil who's out to get you, but God is for you. He loves you. Even if you've messed up your life, God is for you. Even if stuff has gone pear-shaped, God is for you. And that in itself should bring joy into our hearts and into our lives. And we've got to hold on to that joy in the challenges of life. Someone said this, life's challenges are not meant to paralyze you, but help you discover who you are in Jesus Christ. When the challenges come, it's not that they're meant to stop you, to hinder you, to paralyze you, but now they should help force you into discovering in greater depth and understanding who you already are if you are a believer in Jesus Christ. If you're a follower of Jesus Christ, who you are is incredible in him. 1 Peter 1 verse 8 says that you are filled with inexpressible and glorious joy. Inexpressible. So somebody says, what's that joy? So I don't know. I can't express it. It's inexpressible and full. Not a little bit, but full of joy. Hallelujah. Christians should be the most joyful people on the planet. Amen. Amen. I'll try it again over this side. Christians are meant to be the most joyful people on the planet. Yeah, hallelujah. Let's see if it's worked in the middle. Christians are meant to be the most joyful people on the planet. Yeah. Let's see if it's got over here yet, you know. Christians are meant to be the most joyful people on the planet. That was fake and rehearsed. Hallelujah. Philippians 4, verse 4 says, rejoice in the Lord when you feel like it. Oh no, I'm reading the wrong version. Rejoice in the Lord always, every way. This way, that way, that way, that way, always. Rejoice in the Lord always. Even if you're having a tough day, rejoice in the Lord. Even if things are not going the way you want, rejoice in the Lord always. Hallelujah. Even if your prayers are not yet answered, rejoice in the Lord always. Hallelujah. Always. It covers it all. Rejoice in the Lord. I love what one version says. It says, celebrate God all day. Rejoice in the Lord always. In other words, celebrate God all day, every day, wherever you are, whatever's happening, whoever you're with. John 15:11 says that your joy may be full measure, complete, overflowing. The Bible talks nonstop about joy, that your joy may be full measure. Proverbs 15:13, a joyful heart makes a cheerful or happy face. Amen. Anybody agree? Some of you are going to have a funny feeling soon. You're sitting there and it's... Don't panic. That's called smile. It's not an attack of the enemy. I rebuke that in the name of Jesus. I've never done that before. See, the devil tries to rob you of joy, but don't let him. If you lose your joy, you lose your strength. The joy of the Lord is your strength. So instead of looking for other reasons, maybe you need to go back and say, am I walking in that joy? Is that why I'm feeling weak? Because I've lost the joy of the Lord. Not because the devil's doing this or the devil's doing that, but I've lost that joy of the Lord. It's become mundane. It's become ho-hum. It's become ordinary. And instead of enjoying the Lord, you're just doing the life. But the joy of the Lord will make you strong. And the joy of the Lord comes from the Holy Spirit as a result of our relationship with the Lord. Proverbs 17, verse 22 says, a merry or joyful heart is good medicine. It's good medicine. You've got to take it nonstop. It's medicine to your soul, to your health, to your body. It's okay to have a good laugh. Look in the mirror sometimes. It's okay. You're going out like that. You duck and you realize it is actually you. It's not someone standing behind you. That's you in the mirror. Hallelujah. It's okay to have a good laugh sometimes. There's tragedy, there's trials, there's difficulties. But sometimes we just need to get that laughter back into our lives. Laughter actually will boost your immune system. It's medically proven. It will lower blood pressure. What do you mean? That's what I mean right there. Laughter actually lowers your blood pressure. So if you've got some blood pressure issues, have a good laugh. Go home, look in the mirror and go, ha, 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 and your blood pressure will come down. They've proven it. Its effects have been checked by lab experimentation on the respiratory system, the cardiovascular system, the central nervous system, the endocrine system. How many of you didn't know you had one of those? And the immune system. They've tested it medically and they've shown that laughter actually increases the circulation of antigens in your blood system and the concentration of white blood cells that help combat foreign antibodies. So they're catching up with what the Bible says, that the joy of the Lord is good medicine, that a merry heart does you good. Hallelujah. Have a look at the person next to you. Have a little laugh. Hallelujah. Now, there's a lot of things. We need to move on. There's a lot of things that will try to steal your joy. And I want to suggest a few to you this morning very quickly. Resentment will steal your joy. If you resent something, you resent that God didn't do this or did do that or that person did this or that person did that, that will rob your joy. See, the devil will use every trick in the trade to rob you of that joy, because the devil knows if I get his joy, if I get her joy, they will become weak. Because the joy of the Lord is their strength. And so he will try to allow you to get resentment. Resentment against a person, against a situation, against something somebody did or didn't do, something said or wasn't said, and you get resentment, a little bit of resentment comes in your heart, you will find that joy will dissipate. Joy will soon disappear. Bitterness. You're bitter about something that happened in your life. You get bitter about something that went off in your life. And you get bitter at God. You get bitter at people. Let me tell you, that will quickly rob the joy out of your life. Anger. If you get angry. How many of you know it's hard to be angry and joyful? Oh, I'm so angry at you. I tell you, I'm so upset with you. It doesn't work, does it? But anger will steal your joy. And as I share these things, you need to let the Holy Spirit just show you, is there something there? Is there something there that Father's speaking to me about? The Holy Spirit's pointing out. Unforgiveness will destroy. It's like an acid. It destroys your joy. If you're holding grudges against people, if you haven't forgiven, you may have had some bad stuff done to you. You may not forget it, but Father wants you to forgive. Every one of us in this room has had stuff done about us, to us, against us, whatever. We have to make a choice. We're going to walk in forgiveness. Doesn't mean walk in naivety and allow ourselves to be set up again by it, but it means that we forgive. Because if you hold on to unforgiveness, you end up with the problem. Not the offender. You end up with it. Because unforgiveness will steal your joy. It will rob your joy. Fear. Fear will rob your joy. You can't be joyful and fearful. I shared on Friday night, I've probably shared before, way back when I first became a Christian, I came into the kingdom with a fear of heights and a fear of water. Two huge fears. Now, that's a bummer when you live on an island and your house looks out over the sea and you've got a fear of water. You have to keep the curtains closed all the time. I hated the water. I mean, I literally would get ill just thinking about going on a boat. Seriously. I had such a fear of water. I used to shower every month anyway. I just had to push through that fear and go in the shower and every month. Hallelujah. But I had fear of heights. Literally. I mean, even this, back then, I wouldn't get near the edge there. Just even that little bit. I just had this fear of heights. And we found out why and all the rest of it. But I remember one time, Heather and I had a double-story house in England. And Heather said, you know, the woodwork's starting to go a bit bad. You need to get up and paint and what have you. And so I decided I'm going to overcome my fear. And I may have told you the story, but I got the ladder out, which for me was like the worst thing. And I climbed up the ladder with my paintbrush and my paint, and I start to paint up on the windows of the second floor. So I'm painting, and the worst thing that could ever happen, the ladder began to move. And I could feel it. And the ladder's going over there, and then it comes back, and then it actually goes backwards. So my worst fear was being realized. And suddenly the ladder went right back. And I'm going back with it. But I'm, for some reason, I held onto my paintbrush. I have no idea why, whether I felt that would help me or something. But I'm holding onto the paintbrush and I'm going like this. And literally, I fell. I came down two stories. And it was funny looking back later. It wasn't funny at the time. But right down the side of the brick was this white line where I'd come right the way down and I would not let go of that paintbrush, you know. I thought, well, if Heather says it, I tried to finish the job, you know. And I hit the ground, landed on my back. My mother-in-law was there, which obviously made it a lot worse for me. I don't want to start a mother. Have we got any mothers-in-law here? No, come on, own up. No, I'm not going to start a mothers-in-law. Or maybe I would. No, I won't. But Heather and my mother-in-law came running out, and they thought it was funny. I'm laying on the ground there in absolute agony, ladder on top of me, paint all over me. And my mother-in-law's going, I think, yeah, there's another joke coming in a meeting about you soon. Don't worry. And then Heather sort of, oh, are you hurt? I said, no. I've practiced this many times. Of course I'm hurt. The worst thing. Anyway, one day I had a friend from America who was ministering with us. And he was a scary dude. I mean, he was fun and all the rest, but he was scary. And one morning he came into the room and he said, hey, buddy, I was praying for you and Jesus showed me you got a fear of heights and fear of water. And I'm going to get them today. And I realized I just got another fear. He just put one in me. So I said, you better get rid of the fear of you as well whilst you're at it, you know. So he sat me down and prayed for me. And, of course, the best way to test whether I'm free is go face my fear. Praise God. Went out, got on a boat and went across the English Channel in the boat. Absolutely fine, no sickness, totally healed. Got the ladder back out, climbed up it, even wiggling it a little bit myself just to test it out, you know. Totally set free. Hallelujah. But you know, it was hard for me because whenever I faced those things that inspired fear in me, I had no joy. Because fear will rob joy. If you're afraid, if you have a fear that's grabbing your life today, that's going to hinder your joy. Sickness, of course, will steal your joy. Weariness. Anybody weary here? See, nobody can lift their hand. I'm too tired, man. Stop me working. Discouragement. How many of you know that's a major attack on the people of Jesus Christ these days? Discouragement, discouraging us. Discouragement will rob your joy, will steal your joy. So many areas that the enemy will use not to directly attack your joy, but steal from you. Moment by moment, day by day, hour by hour. The longer you carry that fear, the less the joy will roll in your heart. The longer you carry discouragement, the less the joy will roll through your life. The longer you hold anger and bitterness and resentment, the sooner that joy will disappear. And you're not aware that he's getting your joy, but through those other issues, the joy just seeps out. And then you start to wonder, why do I feel so weak? Why do I feel I can't go on? Why don't I want to pray anymore? Why don't I want to read the word? Why don't I want to gather with other Christians? Because you've lost your strength. The enemy's taken your joy. So let me, just in these last few minutes here, suggest some things that will help you maintain and develop your joy very quickly. Ensure your relationship with God is the absolute priority. It always comes back to that. It's always about that. Wherever I preach, whatever I'm preaching on, it's always about first. Seek first. Matthew 6, 33. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. You want to hold on to your joy? Make sure Father God is first in your life. Make sure he's the priority of your life. Not what he's going to give you, not what he's going to do, but him. Make sure he's your priority. That will keep joy in its right place. And then all those issues that I've mentioned, resentment, bitterness, anger, unforgiveness, fear, sickness, weariness, discouragement, the list could go on and on and on. We need to bring those quickly to the Lord. If you've got anger today, you need to bring that to him today. If you have unforgiveness, you need to bring that to him today. Don't say, I'll do it tomorrow, because you won't. You know you won't, because you said that last week. If you resent, if you're holding something against someone, you've got to let it go, because if you don't, your joy will disappear and you are setting yourself up for defeat. And it doesn't matter how many people pray for you, if you hold on to that, it's never going to work. You can have the best people in the business, if I put it like that, pray for you. But if you hold in resentment, bitterness, unforgiveness, it's your issue. You've got to get it dealt with. You've got to bring it to Father. Let him deal with it. He wants to deal with it. He wants to deal with it. He wants to help you to be free from that stuff. And focus on the Lord, not your circumstances. Decide to be a true worshiper. You want to have that joy flowing through your life? Focus on the Lord. Whilst I was lying in that hospital back in Manila, I just made a decision. I'm just going to focus on the fact that God is still good. As ill as I feel, I felt one of the worst, certainly since I'd had my cancer journey, that was the worst I'd felt. But I made a decision. You're still good. You're still worthy of praise. Father, it's not about me. It's always about you. And I choose to focus on you. And I'm going to keep my joy in you. And I'm going to just have more to brag on in the coming days about God. Hallelujah. See, the more stuff I go through, the more I get to brag about God and his goodness. The more challenges and the overcoming, the more I can brag about how big my God is, how powerful my God is, how good my God is. I just got lots and lots more to brag about on Jesus. Hallelujah. Worshipping God, come what may. Habakkuk 2 says, if I can paraphrase it, though there's no food in the fridge, though there's no money in the bank, though there's no petrol for the car, yet will I rejoice in the God of my salvation. Yet will I rejoice. I've got nothing. And maybe like us, you've been in those situations, you've got no food, no money. Yet will I rejoice in the God of my salvation, because he's still a good, good Father. Hallelujah. And I choose to rejoice in that situation and meditate on the Word of God. Allow it to influence every area of your life. Joshua 1, verse 8. Meditate on the Word. The more you meditate on the Word, the more you let it roll around your mind, you change your perspective. You change the way you see things. You begin to see through the Word of God rather than through your circumstance. And you begin to see that the Word of God is above your circumstance. It speaks to your circumstance and takes you through your circumstance. So what we're going to do, we're going to take a few minutes here. I've deliberately sped through there, cut some stuff out. Maybe the musos could come back up here. We're going to sing that again. Holy Spirit, this is dangerous. We might still be going when the next meeting starts, but we'll see. Holy Spirit, you're welcome here. And if you know that something's been robbing your joy, you're sitting there this morning, you say, I know that word was for me. I've been hearing that. I've been not walking in joy. I've allowed the enemy to rob me of my joy. But today I'm going to step out. If there's a bit of anger, if there's a bit of resentment, if there's a bit of bitterness, if there's a bit of disappointment, discouragement, hurt, wound, weariness, sickness, you're going to say, I'm not going to let that rob me. Because the moment I let that rob me, I'm going to lose my strength. And maybe you felt weak. You came along today and praise God you made the effort to get here. Good on you. But now you're here, don't miss this opportunity to go out feeling that strength renewed, that joy flowing again. I've had to do it quickly, but I hope I've explained well enough. It's not about going out feeling all happy, happy. It's going out with this awareness. I've got the joy of the Lord in my heart. Whatever I got to face when I leave here, I'm going to be strong. Hallelujah. And I'm going to invite you. We have a few minutes still. If you're saying, Father, I want to step out. I want to just step back into that joy. I want to deal with my anger. I want to deal with my disappointment. I want to deal with my bitterness. I want to deal with that. I'm going to encourage you to just come down to the front as we sing this. You're welcome.